I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I am your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to hell.
This is hell
this
indeed.
This is hell.
This is hell indeed. Okay.
It's rough.
If this is your first week with us, I really just want to get to it. So, okay. If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here with us to experience these movies, go on a journey, be passengers, and, you know, experience them.
Take the beating we took.
Yeah.
Watch it also, because this was bad.
As James said when we were watching the movie, he said it feels like we're being beaten with a tennis racket.
It feels like the whole movie feels like someone's hitting you with the, not like with the hard edge of a racket, with the strings. They're not smashing it, but they're just like letting it fall on your head over and over like a kid would do until you went, will you stop that right now? You know what I mean? Like ding, ding, ding. That's what it feels like the whole movie. It's like, you're going to stop? When are you going to stop watching it? When are you going to stop watching it? When are you going to hunt Zellweger down and punch her in the face? When are you going to find fucking Catcher Dickhole and punch him in the face? What are you going to do? That's what it felt like.
Yeah. Okay. So we thank you so much for joining us, for choosing to join us during these journeys. Anyway, thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Thank
Absolutely.
You for not asking. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. We do some fun bonus episodes over there. We talk 90 Day Fiancé.
Play some games.
We play some games. Like, and this week we're going to play Make Your Own Rom-Com, where we choose from the bucket.
Yes.
And we will choose our romantic lead. We're going to choose our lead character, where they work, and all, you know, what they have to overcome. This is James's...
I need to get my revenge.
Yeah,
I feel like
James's
I've been wrong.
Revenge. He got Gene Hackman on a yacht last time.
I got also. It was like
he was wronged.
It was bad. It was like Gene Hackman and
Julia,
like,
Roberts on a yacht and something about the FBI.
Dakota Fanning when she was 11 and like,
no,
it was ridiculous. It was,
Dakota Fanning hasn't been in a movie yet, so we
I'm
haven't.
Just
we didn't put her on there.
It was bad.
Okay, last week we watched Rumor Has It Everybody Wants to Fuck Kevin Costner.
Of course.
But they only shortened the movie title to just Rumor Has It ...
Yeah.
And this week we watched The Incomparable, the wonderful, delightful period piece, Down With Love.
Oh, boy. This is a top five for me in terms of punishing bad movies we've watched. We've watched a lot of shit. We watched Burlesque. We've watched bad things. We watched a fucking movie with the Channing Tatum dancing around. And, I don't know. Dancing janitor or whatever the hell it was called. This is fucking getting... This is bad.
It was so good.
It was punishing.
Okay. Just a reminder, we are on the 3 weeks on, 1 week off. So this is our third week. And next week, we are dead to the world. Don't ask us about us. Don't come looking for us.
We'll
nothing.
Be back the next week, though.
And then we're going to be back after
and
that.
And I get my pick when we come back, right? Isn't
no.
that one of my movie
is
picks?
Is that what we talked about?
I think so. It's my pick when
when did
back.
We discuss this?
We discussed it. It's right. Not important when, but I believe
well,
I get
I can't wait
pick.
To find out how some movie that's not a romantic comedy is a romantic comedy.
I'll make it that way. Don't worry.
Okay. I know. I could do
I'll
that
work
too.
It out.
I want to watch
Please
Space
do.
Jam. I want to
okay.
watch Space Jam because I think
Fine.
That could be a romantic comedy.
But
it's about Michael Jordan and his love of basketball.
But it's good, though. You don't want to rip Space Jam.
Well, yeah,
apart
Space
Jam is
my favorite movie, but Splash was also good.
Yeah, but it's also Tom Hanks turns into a fish. I mean, let's be honest here. It's not. It tries to play like it's in the real world, and then next
don't
thing you know,
don't even get me started on Space Jam. We're gonna do
well,
Space Jam
obviously
as
the
or maybe it'll be a Patreon episode so we can hear my manifesto about Space Jam.
Possibly. Yeah, I'm into that. Let's
okay.
do it. But this
Space Jam manifesto, another time. down with love today.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. I just want to get into it because I can't tell you how good of a time James and I had watching this movie. Because it was mostly silent. Normally, whenever we're watching movies, it is not silent. It is anything but silent. My cousin loves watching TV with us because we have a comment about things that really don't matter. And this one, we were both dead silent.
I was like leaning over, like, can I sleep possibly? Maybe I can get out of this. Like, it was bad. I felt like when they show like people in an interrogation room that definitely murdered someone and they bring them in and they sit them there
and they sleep.
And within like 10 minutes, they're like laying on their arm on the desk sleeping. That's how I felt. Like, I'm busted. Fuck it. I'm going down. I'm sleeping. I don't care anymore. That's how I felt.
Yeah.
The score of this movie.
It was really bad.
And when we say score, normally score pops up and score goes away. And
score was throughout the whole movie.
This movie is every second of it, except for her big speech, is scored. And it's scored along with what the character's saying. So if they're like, blah, 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 I'm mad at you, there's like, dun, 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 like Indian warpath music, like from an old Western.
Yeah.
It's fucking unbelievably grating.
It was great, is what you mean.
It was so bad.
Down with Love, 2003, 1 hour, 41 minutes, and you felt every single one of those minutes. Normally a movie, if it's like, James and I like 96 minutes, 1 hour, 36 is our ideal time. Every minute over that, we're constantly pressing the button to see like where we're at.
Yeah.
You
have to say this was 101 minutes because it makes it sound longer than 1 hour 41. You go, it's 101 minutes, and it felt like it.
101. Yeah.
Minutes.
Starring Ewan McGregor, Renee Zellweger, Sarah Paulson, and David Hyde Pierce. The IMDb description: in 1962, New York City, love blossoms between a Playboy journalist and a feminist advice author.
Oh, well, I guess that. Not really what happens at all.
It's a better description than the other movies that we've done, they're definitely,
it would be very hard to describe this movie.
Well, do you know, you can do that. Are you ready? Because here's the tagline.
Please, something. Make something make sense.
You can
absolutely
sum up this movie in one sentence.
Okay.
The ultimate catch has met his match.
Jesus.
Catch
Christ.
And match don't rhyme. Like good and food. Good food. Nobody. Good and food doesn't, you know, that's all that stuff. So catch and match is one of those.
They're going to make it rhyme. Yeah. That's the problem. This movie feels
like the ultimate catch.
There's a lot of making it happen in this movie. That's what bothers me about it. Is so much like it's going to make it happen.
This movie, so you had mentioned that you were like, listen, you're like this, it takes a long time to write a movie. It takes a long time to do all that stuff and you get, you know, studio notes. And it just reminded me of that Patton Oswalt joke where he talks about that movie called Deathbed, the bed that kills people or that eats people.
The bed that kills people. Yeah.
So he talks about this movie like from the 70s where, you know, this person,
cheesy horror movie
where like this person like fucked a demon on a bed or something like that, and now the bed's possessed and you know, it eats people. And
of course.
So this movie, Down with Love, has done what Deathbed, the bed that eats people, has done to Patton Oswalt, and it has inspired me to keep plowing through whatever projects that I am working on, because whoever wrote Deathbed just never gave up. They never stopped believing in themselves.
That's
and
true.
Whoever did this did the same.
You know, but this is one of those movies where I'm looking at it going, this went through a whole process. Like you said, like somebody, there's dailies.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
sat somewhere in an office and watched pieces of this movie as it was made and went, yep, more of that. Keep that up. What the fuck happened? Who didn't pull the plug on this at some point?
No. Nobody ever thought to pull the plug. And as a matter of fact, the fun fact today is actually, this is how much people were not going to pull the plug.
Oh, help me, God. What
everything
is it?
Everything that everyone made, everything that everyone wore from head to toe was custom made. So that's how, like, committed.
Oh, my God. No.
Yes.
This meant that. Okay. This is, now that I'm looking at it, this many people should not be involved in something so terrible.
Yeah.
This is like an army of people to make clothes and sets and all this bullshit that they had going
head
on.
Head to toe. Custom.
Head to toe.
Head to toe. So their fucking costume budget must have been.
This movie, at the end of this movie, I looked over at Sarah and I said, imagine when this came out. like you work all week or you go to school all yep. week and like it's Friday night and you're going to go out and like you're going on like a date or whatever. And, you know, you have all this. And when you leave this movie, you'd be so angry. Like, all I have to work on Monday now. And I saw this. This was my fucking night. This was my night. I have a I'm paying a babysitter right now to watch this piece of shit.
James, so no. calmly after the movie, he said, I mostly got through that movie and now I'm just filled with rage.
I did. I had no, that's the weird part of this movie. Like, I had no feeling the whole way through it. I felt nothing. I sat there numb and just sort of like irritated, but numb. And then as soon as it was over, I was like, no, you know what? Yeah, it was like a relationship that you get out of. That you realize how badly you were treated in it. And you're like,
I reject that this happened to me.
Yeah, I don't want to know about this happening to me. It's bullshit. So I said, oh, it's too much. It's
no.
too much. No, no, you didn't just do this movie. No, I'm not. I will not have this.
We own it now.
You bought this?
Yeah, we had to.
No. No. What happened to the rental option? Jesus Christ. This is going to be forever in our hard drive.
Trying to watch Mad Men. And then it wasn't working.
That's right. We
so
oh, that's
wasn't
right.
Working,
oh,
and so we had to
no.
buy it.
No. So the okay.
Well, that's, I have the DVD too. So good news.
Yeah, that's great. We were covered
case,
no matter what
just
happened.
In case Apple doesn't. Jesus. I just didn't feel like trying to find it.
That's okay. This that's the other thing. We've been rewatching Mad Men lately, which is like, you know, takes place in this era, so it just shows how bad this is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Fuck, I'm angry still. I mean, we need to give it like a day in between watching and doing this because I am
only for this movie, though.
Full of rage. I'm just full of rage.
Again, it was so calm. I mostly got through that, but
I did.
But now I am full of rage.
Oh, I'm angry. I'm angry.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Please.
I told you we have to really just get into it, you guys, because
sorry.
It's really funny.
We have to focus, I guess. Like,
we have to have our concentrated rage. Okay.
Okay.
The movie begins. It's got this like kind of like, you know, 60s animated montage, and they're playing a Down With Love song. And it's like, Down With Love, da 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 da, Down With Love. Down with Cupid.
Hey,
and much to my dismay, Michael Bublé is also singing.
Ooh, he's all over this movie. His stink is all over this
movie
project.
Is Michael Bublé in film because
yes.
you have
phony.
He's just like, he's discovered I can kind of do this crooning voice and
yes.
you know, whatever, but yet when he's singing it's just all cover songs and you feel yeah. nothing. It's not him.
He's Hydrox.
He's not
Dean Martin.
Yeah, he's not like drunk off of his
no.
mind on like a bender, you know, like Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra, but they were still just like, my heart is
yeah.
sad and lonely, and
yeah.
you're like, that guy's lonely.
Moonlight
yeah turning. Yeah. So
no,
you're not. You don't feel anything from Michael Bublé.
No.
Instead, you just like put Michael Bublé on, and you're like, one, am I at the grocery store? And you know, like,
yeah.
but where the food is the thing that matters the most. But Michael Bublé is playing, and it's just kind of he's just
yeah.
kind of there. That's what this whole movie.
And that's what, yeah, because this movie is Hydrox
yeah.
Mad Men. That's
yeah.
basically what it is. Like the even the reporter guy, Ewan
Catch
McGregor,
block,
is
yeah.
is like Hydrox Don Draper. Basically,
he's
like,
wishes
he's like Don Draper, who Don Draper would like give a dirty look to and call a
yeah.
you know, call a name to and not give the time of day. Like, you're pathetic.
So anyway, so now we're having like an aerial shot of New York. It's supposed to be the 60s, but I think you said that you saw the Twin Towers.
The fucking Twin Towers were right at the bottom. I get that they were trying, that's what people associated with the skyline, but they
yeah.
weren't built till 72. So,
yeah, anyway.
Not
so it starts
point.
Off with this kind of cheesy voiceover type thing. The place, New York City. The time, now, 1962. They kind of go.
Five or two?
62.
It oh, it's 62.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're kind of going over everything. You know, they're doing all the expository shit. Here's where we are. This is what year we're in. The population. Whoa. The population is 8 million. And then they go, make that 8 million and one. And here comes
God.
Renee Zellweger, the Zellwig. So we got to get through this because this movie is so punishing. And James and I would literally rather talk about anything else.
I will talk about anything else but this. So, let's talk about Mad Men. That'd
Zellweger is catching a taxi.
Go, Pegrit. Can't we just root for Pegrit and not this?
I missed Pegrit. The whole time I was like, where's Pegrit?
Where's Pegrit? Where are you?
Pegrit.
Pegrit, Joni.
Has anybody talked to Pegrit? Where's Roger?
Get Roger Sterling on the phone, somebody.
Are we going
Jesus.
Into Bert Cooper's office? When should we take our shoes off?
I need a drink.
Zellweger is catching a taxi that is carrying a bunch of protesters when they're protesting down with the bomb, down with the bomb. Mm-hmm. Then a tailpipe makes an explosion noise as it pulls away. This movie is full of cutesy little obvious
gags.
Jokes and innuendos and little gags. And there's always a lot of sexual innuendo. There's always a lot of cheekiness. It's very campy. It's very...
It's like almost like trying to do like what Austin Powers did with the parody, except they don't take it to that level. They sort of try to act like, but there's a real story here, too. Whereas Austin Powers was like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Everything's ridiculous. This is like there's a real story, but wink, it's just.
I feel like they were trying to make it ridiculous, and it was just an unsuccessful. It was too ridiculous.
The tone was just off. The whole tone of this fucking movie was off, and the whole time, I'll get this over with now. Like I said, the score is relentless. It never stops. So the way everybody walks around. Two, they walk like nobody walks like a normal person. They all walk like an exaggerated, like old timey walk.
And I'm gonna ultra do this. Slinky and
And like when they she takes her hat off. It's like this big movement. Like this is what you do in the '60s, which is like on purpose. But it feels like over exaggerated, like a musical.
Yeah.
So it feels like people are sort of dancing to the score, but then a dance never happens and a song never breaks out.
Yeah.
So it feels like at any moment for an hour and 41 fucking minutes, a song is going to break out and it never does.
Yeah.
Ever. So it feels like you're being stalked. Feels like you've walked 3 miles with a person behind you holding up a baseball bat over their head. Yeah. Like they're going to hit you with it.
Or a tennis racket.
Baseball bat because a tennis racket is just an irritant. So they're waiting to hit you, and after like 2 miles, you keep looking back. After like 2 miles, you don't think they're going to hit you anymore. It's like an hour into the movie.
You're pretty sure
they're not going to hit you anymore, but you still keep looking back, and it's still worrisome that they're behind you holding a baseball bat. That's what this fucking movie is.
That's exactly what this movie is.
it's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, because you really do at the end.
It threatens you with song and never.
Yeah, and it never does. No. It just gives you musical blue balls. Okay.
Yes, good way to put it.
We are in an office building in New York now. We see a bunch of elevators. You get the inkling that New York is just so busy because there's so many people. People can't even get an elevator. You can't get a taxi. You can't even get an elevator. And then she misses the one elevator, and then we meet Sarah Paulson. I thought that Sarah Paulson was her agent, but she's actually just the editor. So anyway, Sarah Paulson comes out, and she's, they're having a whole talk. You know, how do we know each other? You're Vicky. I'm Barbara Novak. Oh my God, the book comes out next week. Can you hardly believe it? Next week. Oh my. Everybody's always chain smoking and anyway.
Exaggeratedly doing things.
Yeah, they get off the elevator. They run into the art director for the book cover. And we see the book cover art and it says Down With Love. It has an arrow on it. It's in this pink. And this like bubblegum pink is going to be kind of like Renee Zellweger's signature color.
It's the palette throughout the whole thing. Her phone is bubblegum pink.
Everything is bubblegum pink. Her outfit even in this scene is like a bubblegum pink.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
This whole movie it reeks of that there's the battle of the sexes and, ladies are like this and it's gross.
The ladies are doing this while the gents are over here.
So Rachel Dratch is Sarah Paulson's secretary. I love Rachel Dratch. Could have seen more of her this whole time.
There should always be more Rachel Dratch.
There should always be more Rachel Dratch. I really think that she is wonderful. Okay. Rachel Dratch says to Zellweger, I wish that you had written this book sooner because it's too late for me. Gladys, it's never too late.
Yeah, and she goes,
And there's always like eyelash batting
exaggerated.
Your eyes are like cartoonishly open. Like, I'm understanding what you're saying.
This movie is oddly similar to Grease 2. That's what's weird about it. It's got the same vibe, except in Grease 2, they break into a terrible song, whereas this, it never happens. But it's supposed to be both in 1962, I guess. Yeah. So maybe that's why. But it's got a similar, like they play it similarly campy.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Yeah.
I hate this movie. I just hate it.
We meet everybody at the publishing house, all men with initials, JB, BJ, JR, RJ.
Yeah.
So-and-so is down with TB. And yeah. Oh, is
okay.
it serious?
Okay is down with TB.
Yeah. And well, because TB used to be tuberculosis. Yeah. Oh, is it serious?
Yeah. And she's like, he's yeah. like, oh, TB is, Tommy Brand just fucking cock or some shit. I don't know what
yeah,
his name is.
Yeah, you're just a silly woman. You don't understand that we go by our initials.
Duh.
Yeah.
Jesus, get with it, Hick.
Yeah, so there's two women and there's like eight men. So it's Sarah Paulson and Zellwigs, and they're in the boardroom. And they're still like, even though Sarah Paulson is an editor, they're still like, Ricky, can you go get me some coffee?
And it's very like, rah, 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 we're men, man, rah, penis and like, pistons and my lube job. And
I don't want coffee. I'll have a Sanka. Like, I don't, you know, it's
being pricks.
It's silly that they're just like, oh, if you're making a fresh pot of coffee, I'll have a cup. Like, it's just gross. Like,
yeah, whatever. It was like, 1962, I guess.
Yeah, but so. I'm sure that they had a fucking secretary that like they did would've. Something yeah, for they them. They that don't have to just have Vicky do it.
That's what I mean. They probably would have called that person yeah. in, but I don't know. I wasn't alive.
So they want to, Zellwigs to tell them about her book. So we learn the point of the book is that it's called Down With Love, and she's saying love is a distraction. You know, it's like women, she wants to basically do girl power, that she's
sexual
starting
revolution.
Like the sexual revolution, yeah. like ladies can be fulfilled in other ways with their jobs or, you know, whatever. So they have...
Well, the premise of the book is ladies can't be happy if they get married.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
They have to be like,
so,
no choice.
Well, because they're saying, like, if you want to be respected in the workplace or in the whatever, like, you have to be as equal as men. Mm-hmm. So it's not really about this, but it's like, well, like, there's a lot of...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's
it's
a lot of
strange.
Nuance to this very silly...
The premise
book
is
premise.
No love, and by level, because she explains the levels quickly.
Yeah, because I was going to say there's stereotypical where she's saying that like love and, you know, you can have sex without love. And then
yes.
this one guy says, isn't that the same thing? So then she goes over the levels. So, okay, so the first level is the self-pleasuring technique where they're like, ooh. And it's her, you know, saying it's basically up with chocolate. So fight all of your sexual urges by eating a ton of chocolate.
Mm-hmm. That'll fight it right off.
That'll fight it right off. The second level, I don't know. It's something.
See,
I didn't read
either.
It. I didn't really feel like rewinding it and making
Fuck
it
this.
An extra minute.
Yeah.
And then the third level
I wouldn't
is,
have let you. I would have knocked the remote from your hand to right to
the
ground.
The third level
How dare you?
Is essentially an unequivocal equality with men where women can have sex and enjoy it the way that a man does, a la carte.
Yeah, which, okay.
Yeah.
And the premise of the movie, though, beyond this, now that we have that established, is that every man is, like, in this state of turmoil because
yeah.
of this, where it's like the married guys were, like, complaining about, my wife's, you know, not doing what she usually does now. That, okay, they're complaining about that. But every single guy would be like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. Rather than take you out six fucking times and buy you a shitload of dinners and do
That's
all
why
of this and kiss your ass, I can just fuck you after the first date? Oh, no.
I am having...
Darn.
Yeah, because, like, the married guys all seem to be complaining about that, you know, she seems to think that she has a mind of her own and, you know.
She wants to go get a job now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
like
it's
that.
Just like, okay, like, eye roll, whatever. But yeah. this movie has a lot of flaws.
Yeah, a lot of flaws in the psychology of people,
so,
of humans.
So one of the guys from the publishing house says that, maybe the upstanding men from Maine are, you know, better than the guys from New York, but the men are from New York are devious. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
And they're going to, just when you think that they're coming at you, they're going to attack you from the rear. And while you're protecting your rear, mm-hmm. they're going to drop out of the sky.
Dicks
and,
in your ear when you're not expecting it. Just dicks everywhere.
Right in your ear in New York.
In your ear, in your eye.
But so then, like, right out of the sky, like, all the transitions in this movie are... It's like whiplash because
yes.
it's constantly like, you know, putting you over here, over here, over here. So,
yeah, it likes to do that. Good like observation there
yeah.
because they do that constantly.
It's always a cheeky thing. Like they'll drop out of the sky and here comes Ewan McGregor coming down from a helicopter.
Yeah, hanging off a ladder of a helicopter.
Hanging off a ladder, talking to the, like, you know, Copacabana girls and they've got their, yeah. their tits out.
He's got three showgirls with him, like kissing him goodbye.
Yeah,
as
and
he,
the, oh, one more kiss. And he's like, careful. And
yeah, one of them's always foreign. That's yeah, the, one of the women's always
they
foreign.
They were triplets, too. So I think that they were all foreign.
Well, I would hope so.
And the helicopter pilot is like waving, and he's got, you know, lipstick all over his
party
face.
Hat on.
He's got a party hat, and he's like, thanks, catch. Like, you know, whatever. And Ewan McGregor like walks into this like swanky magazine office. You know, he's it's no Sterling Cooper.
That's what I mean. It wants to be.
It wants to be. But anyway, it's always like that. It's always, there's always a very crazy transition.
Every
that's
time.
Just, it's obvious Every like time. That, dropping out of the sky, and then you can expect to see somebody coming from the sky.
Yeah, whenever they say anything, look for it, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like a cartoon.
It's definitely going to happen to you. Someone is absolutely going to hit you over the head with a tennis racket.
It kind of feels like live action, like cartoon or comic book, like the old Dick Tracy movie from like 89, you know, that with Warren Beatty. It feels like that kind
of. They pulled a lot of inspiration from that 1959 movie Pillow Talk. So I guess that they're kind of paying a little bit of homage to a lot of different things.
Yeah, we've all seen that. Everyone out there, how many of you have seen the 1959 movie Pillow Talk? So when they were putting this out, no one going to the theater was like, oh, I see the similarities to Pillow Talk. Fuck out of here.
Sucks. We're in the No magazine offices. Yeah. No, K-N-O-W.
Obviously.
It's the men's magazine, and we see David Hyde Pierce, who's arguably
Niles.
The best part of the movie.
Niles
is awesome in this entire movie, and I love him.
It's weird they have Niles and they have David Hyde Pierce and Tony Randall in this. So
oh,
they have
yeah.
the two characters on TV who are the two gayest characters in the history of television that weren't gay. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Between Felix and Niles, they're on Felix of the Odd Couple.
So I would say that they were more flamboyant, but not even
they were supposed to be very flamboyant. Flamboyant is the way to put it, but they were very gay characters, clearly. And
they were supposed to be questionable.
But they weren't on the shows. They weren't questionable at all. They were
no, because
so it's just not that it matters.
As we
learn
later, that Niles he wants to marry Sarah Paulson really bad. Okay, so anyway, Niles sees Ewan McGregor's secretary, and he's like, "Oh, are you the new one? Okay, cool. Well, when he gets in, tell him to see me. He's fired."
Very much a Don Draper situation where he like breaks their hearts and they quit. That's how it works.
Yeah, he goes through a lot of different. Well, Don Draper wasn't necessarily breaking their hearts so much as he was yelling at them. He was mean. Well, he did that to Allison, but that wasn't the problem.
But I got the feeling that he had done that for years leading up to the show.
No, I think that he's just mean to them because they can't handle how direct he is, because he's like, Peggy, don't fuck that up. And she's like, okay.
Listen, Peggy, get over here for a minute. Yeah.
Like, I think that he just is like, Don Draper is like your dad. Like, he's
but
everybody's
sometimes
dad.
He bangs him, too. I think it's just whatever it is. He goes through him quickly, kind of. This guy's got the same thing going on, except he's never mean. It's always just like, oh, yeah.
He's gross. Yeah.
He fucked her Ewan face
McGregor
last night.
Wants
now
to,
she wants
he's
to
like,
quit.
Oh, do you work for me? So he walks up and he sees the new secretary and, oh, do you work for me? And she's like, yeah. And she's about to faint. And so David Hyde Pierce is mad at Ewan McGregor, and he's telling him that, you know, the story was due yesterday. You were supposed to write this this story about Nazis hiding in Argentina, and instead I see you on the front page of this, and you got the three girls from the Copacabana on your arm, and you know, whatever.
This
and
is when they have to establish that he's such a, because you look
he's
at
a
him,
loose
he,
cannon.
He doesn't look like much. He's fine, whatever, but he doesn't look like, oh, the ladies would fall over if he walks into a room. So they had to make it to, like in the paper, it says ladies man, man's man about town. They have to keep repeating that.
Yeah, it says no magazines, catch or block, ladies man about town. And everybody, you know, is all grossed out by that.
They all swoon.
And
everyone, men,
they say
women.
That he's caught leaving the place with these girls from the floor show. And he's like, you're supposed to have written a story about Nazis hiding in Argentina. And he's like, yeah, you know, there are, but they're also hiding them in Florida in America as well. And David Hyde Pierce is like, why? Nazis are bad. We are good. And it's funny because this is supposed to be taking place in 1962. So that's like 20 years after.
Yeah, not even after the war ended.
So less than 20 years, just barely. Yeah. And it's just still understood in 1962 that Nazis are bad.
Yeah, no shit. Okay? Are Nazis bad?
Nazis are bad. Yeah. So David Hyde Pierce is anal and neurotic in every show and movie, and this is no exception.
God, one of his... He's great in everything, damn it. Just put him in something, and at least you'll have a couple minutes of where I'm not irritated as shit.
Yeah, one of his neuroses in this movie is about his sock garters, and this is also kind of to be like... a wink and a nod to the period, you know, 1962, that they're sock garters. And also, this is one of the sexual weird innuendos because the secretary can't work like the whole intercom system. So she's trying to figure it out. And she finally figures it out as she's listening to Ewan McGregor and Niles talk about their sock garters and how Ewan McGregor doesn't wear those anymore because he hasn't worn them since Nixon conceded. And
In 60.
And,
well, they start talking about how the measurements. And
yeah, the measurements and how does it stay up? It stays up all day long. And, you know, you can get 16 inches. How much hose does a man need? And I've got 32 inches of confidence here because don't forget that I've got two of them, like his socks.
He's got two enormous penises is what the secretary hears.
Yeah, so she like faints because, you know, whatever.
And I couldn't tell if she was just in shock or in... She was all the blood rushed from her head because of her horniness now.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it
her
seemed
loins
like it was.
Were quaking.
She was like, oh, God, everything just went to my vagina, and then she fell over.
She falls over out of her chair, and she's fainted, and the Niles and Ewan McGregor hear this, so they're like, oh, my God, that's 3 in a month. And then they say, what is it about the workplace that women can't handle?
They just can't handle it.
They just can't handle it.
Must be my sexiness. That's what it is.
Yes, yeah. And now we're cutting to, what is it about the workplace that women can't handle? And Zellweger and Sarah Paulson, we're in the cab. Men. That's what women can't handle in the workplace. Again, very obvious, crazy transitions.
Yeah, really crazy.
So she says, they brought me to New York to publish my book when they have no intention to promote it. Sarah Paulson is walking around and, you know, she says to Zellweger, like, hey, listen, I got you a cover story in No Magazine with Catcher Block, you and McGregor. So now we have to sit there and wonder, when will these two finally meet? Ewan McGregor is...
when will they come together?
So that we mentioned Catcher Block, and then we get punched in the face to go into another cab with Ewan McGregor and Niles, and he's like, no, I'm not going to do the story. I'm not going to talk to a New England spinster librarian. Sarah Paulson gets Renee Zellweger an apartment, and she's got a first phone call in the apartment. It's the first of many phone calls between Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger.
So many.
The screen is split, and it's always the two of them on there. They're usually doing something that makes it seem like they know that the other person is on the other side of the screen.
It's a split screen, and the one he's like drying his back with his towel
and
open,
it looks like,
and she drops her hat
like
and gets down to her knees.
Other,
it looks like she's blowing him, and then they're in like a 69 later on.
They've made a lunch date in the mahogany room, so we're going to be at the mahogany room as they're waiting for... So it's Niles and Ewan McGregor, and they're in a restaurant, and they're waiting for Sarah Paulson and Zellweger to show up. Niles is nervous, so he wants to go to the bathroom. A flight attendant shows up in the mahogany room, and she sees Ewan McGregor, and she's like, you know, oh, it's me. Oh, blimey, Catcher, you know I love you.
Yeah.
And so he goes in, you know, off with her.
This foursome never happens between the Wegs, the Gregs, Marsha Clark, and Niles. That never happens. The Wegs, McGregs, Marsha Clark, and Niles. That foursome never like coalesces like it's supposed to.
Yeah, it's never like it's supposed to. It does happen, but it's never like it's supposed to.
No.
One of many matching outfit entrants for Renee Zellweger and Sarah Paulson. They come out and
the song is supposed to happen.
And like they're like they're revealing their outfits
like a musical. Then they walk in sync together.
Yeah, giving somebody their jacket and whatever.
It's so weird.
They go sit down at a table, and David Hyde Pierce returns from the bathroom. Everybody wants to know where Ewan McGregor is. They get a phone call. It's Ewan McGregor, and he's got an excuse about how a dog came up to him in the restaurant and started nuzzling him.
Yeah, and several dog excuses.
It's always gross, too. So she, my mother always told me that the character of a man is how he treats a selfless, defenseless animal. Tell me, Mr. Block, how is the little bitch now? And, it's, while that's...
And he's banging flight attendants.
Yeah, he's banging tons of flight attendants. So he goes to a matinee show with one. We've got outfit reveal number two, another phone call, another dog excuse. I'm out with my French poodle. They're at a Yankees game. They're with the Russian model from Head Over Heels.
Oh.
That's where he's with on that one.
Which one's Head Over Heels?
The one with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Monica Potter.
Blocked it out of my mind. Thank you. I don't remember it at all, but good. Thank you. I honestly... Oh, no. Sweet. Oh, God. Jesus, I do remember it.
You remember it.
How'd you do that
to me? It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now.
God, fuck. Jesus, what they're watching him from the window and he's shitting all over the place. That's the one where he shits his fucking intestines out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casually.
Casually loses his entire fucking insides.
Yeah.
At least his gallbladder was in there and he didn't even notice it. Okay,
I'm sorry. It was blended. Okay.
I can't.
So anyway, there's that one, and then there's another outfit change. They're at breakfast because he's like, can we please reschedule until dinner? Can we reschedule until breakfast? Which I wouldn't have rescheduled for dinner. I'd be like, okay, cool. Let me know when you're available.
Listen to Greg's.
Outfit number three, they're at breakfast with Niles, and they see there's the two flight attendants so far at another table at the same restaurant. Renee Zellweger overhears them talking that I was taking in a matinee with Ketcher Block, and then the other girl's like, I was at the ball game with Ketcher Block.
Yeah, and his penis was spectacular, and they go on and on.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
With glow coat. Okay, anyway, sorry, I had to do a Mad Men ref. Okay, so she overhears the conversations, another phone call.
Couldn't we have just watched an episode of Mad Men and done that instead?
No, because we had to do this one. So we had another phone. Plus, Lane's dead in Mad Men, the part where that we're at right now. And it's really a sad.
It's getting sad. The only thing that redeems it is Pete Campbell's meltdown.
Okay, no, stop. Beautiful. We have to talk about the movie. Okay, so another phone call. Another flight attendant is with him. So Zellweger says to him, fuck you and the horse you rode in on. I'm never going to meet with you. Fuck your mother. Goodbye.
Yeah.
She gives him the...
Right in the butthole, she says.
Yeah, reads him the riot act, tells him I wouldn't go out with you for 100 years. I wouldn't meet with you. Come barking up this tree. No,
this tree is closed for business.
Yep. So David Hyde Pierce is super upset because now he's never going to have an excuse to talk to Sarah Paulson, and he wants to marry her. So the Ewan McGregor takes him to the slipper room. I think it's supposed to be kind of it's like a burlesque, sexy, dancers where they have tassels on their nipples.
It's
just
women in bikinis dancing. So I don't know what the draw was there.
So exactly. Now we cut to, he says to David Hyde Pierce, don't close your eyes, don't close your eyes, don't close your eyes. Pop right in the face. Here we go. Now we got whiplash. And then Sarah Paulson saying, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And
it's
one copy of her book, Down with Love, in Scribner's, Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, there it is.
Also, should I be doing some voice work for people from the 60s? Because I'm doing great.
You are. You're doing fantastic.
Thank
you really are.
I needed the
60s.
Validation.
You're kind of an early 60s lady when you let that voice out.
Scribner's.
It's very, very strange.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like it. It's weird.
Thanks. So anyway, she's got all that work and one copy of the book, and I completely understand this. And she says, if someone finds it, then there will be none. Oh, no, Doubleday also has one. So somehow they want to get their book out there, and Sarah Paulson wants to get the book on the Ed Sullivan Show. So she's just an editor, but she got Judy Garland to sing
a song for her,
a song about the book, and she got Ed Sullivan to be like,
they just happened to know a footage of Judy Garland singing a song called Down With Love. So they were like, we have to put fucking that in there somewhere, right?
Yeah. Now we have a montage of every woman around the world dancing to the song and kind of ditching their men because they see Judy Garland on TV and, one slopping potatoes on everybody's
overall
plate.
Overall guy,
And then one person, everybody's they're all like from married doing their
womanly duties to then by the end of the montage, the men were doing whatever they're doing and they're sitting and reading the book and being happy.
And then it comes all full circle because Zellweger is playing Judy Garland in that biopic. We have to watch that. We love biopics.
We don't. That sounds terrible also.
But
so
we
love biopics.
That's
what I mean.
That like
sounds
that.
Bad enough to watch. Yeah. To watch. That can't be good.
Yeah, you got to watch.
Just can't be
you
good.
You got to watch All Eyes on Me. That guy is great.
He
looks just like Tupac.
It's an awful movie, but the guy looks exactly like Tupac, and it's really unsettling. You're like, wow, look at that.
It's amazing. He looks identical to him, and they just.
When they auditioned for that part, he had to have shown up and been like, right?
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Don't even
Holy
need to
shit.
Know any lines.
Right? And they were like, dude.
Yeah.
And then that was the end of his acting career, I'm sure. Maybe not. I hope not. But
no, because he's good. He's fine.
He was good, but yeah. I just feel like people are going to be like, you just look like Tupac.
Yeah, so there's a switchboard, so many calls about the book, so many ladies are carrying around the pink book. Three dudes who are getting their shoes shined, they're laughing like, oh man, how funny is that? Women reading. And it's the book is a success all over the world. We see women in, you know, England and France and whatever, in China and in Russia. In China, apparently, you hide the book under your hat. And in Russia, you hide it like in a loaf of bread.
In a big loaf of bread.
Yeah, because they're not allowed to read.
But the writing and the book was in Russian. So, like, it was... Mm-hmm. A Russian publisher put this out,
yeah.
But yet they wasn't allowed to
not
have.
Not allowed to have.
So how the fuck was it made? Yeah. It was strange. Yeah, I don't know how that worked.
The montage slowly turns into, so it's going for the whole song of Down With Love, and it's doing the whole, and all
it's
those
cheese.
Midnight blues. It does that, and then it finally gets to the end, where now we're watching the montage where it's women reading and, you know, turning down their husbands' advances or making their husbands, you know, slop the potatoes on the...
Yeah, overall guy is slopping potatoes.
Or they're making the men wait for the shoe shine and they're reading their book instead. So, like, now it's... Mm. Now they're like, okay, cool, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read. You're going to give them mashed potatoes and then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get my shoes shined and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to work.
Down With Love is the... I put Down With The Love...
Down With The Love, like you're 100.
Why? Down With The Love is the number one book in the world.
Quit smoking the pot.
Ewan McGregor sees the cardboard cutout of Zellweger and he is upset because she is hotter than he thought. So now he goes to David Hyde Pierce because he wants to do the cover story. So David Hyde Pierce is upset, and the two ladies are celebrating Zellweger's success, even though, you know, and all the men being upset. Cheers. Everybody's sad because their women want jobs. Doesn't seem to be bad for anybody.
I don't know what the philosophy was there.
I guess we'll find out soon.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, this was, I don't know, man. This movie was just...
Well, okay, a bright point is...
I tried so hard.
Rachel Dratch is back, which makes me happy because I love her. David Hyde Pierce keeps calling because he wants to do the cover story. And she says, now it's every half hour. And, you know, tell him we're busy. So, you know, David Hyde Pierce is telling Ewan McGregor she doesn't want to meet with you. You really fucked this up, whatever. And they see Zellweger on TV with Chris Parnell, which is an awesome... I love Chris Parnell. He's great. And it's like that Guess Who show where you have, like, you know, like the one with, like, Catch Me If You Can, where you talk about who it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To guess their identity.
Yeah, it's a shitty game show.
Yeah.
On in 1962.
And so she's on TV, and he's like, you know, this chapter, you were talking about the worst kind of man. You know, do you know anybody like that? And she's like, oh, don't make me name any names.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to name any names. So then she totally says Catcher Block is the worst kind of man ever.
The McGregs.
Yep. And David Hyde Pierce loves this, obviously, because he loves that. He's like, oh, all you have, all you, every woman loves you. You're the ladies' man, man's man, man about town. And the one person that they all listen to, you had to just piss off.
They all, by they all, they mean 4 million, because they keep
4 million women in the naked
saying,
city.
4 million and 4 million women this and 4 million women that. And well, the 4 million women I want to fuck want to do this. Well, these 4 million, shut up. Jesus Christ.
So he's like, don't even worry about it, because all the gals that I talk to don't care about this Barbara Novak shit, so don't even worry about it. He gets a phone call from his one of his flight attendants, the British one, and he's like, hey, what's going on? Let's go get something to eat. And she's like, no, it's cool. Figured I would call to let you know that I'm reading and I don't want to hang out with you.
The weird part is the book is describing the lifestyle that those women already have.
Yeah.
So why they would read the book and no shit, stupid.
No, but
and
now
throw it aside.
Now she trains to be a pilot.
Does she?
Yeah, the one at the end. She's like, I'm training to be a pilot.
Oh, I missed that completely.
Okay.
But before that, it's like they're working.
Which is good. I want her to be a pilot.
Yeah, fly away. I don't give a shit. Go ahead and knock yourself out.
So Ewan McGregor is pissed off because now Zellweger is affecting his sex schedule. And so now he wants to prove that women, all women, just want love. And he's going to write an expose of the century exposing Barbara Miss Down With Love Novak. Okay.
Of the century.
Zellweger is upset because she wanted to attend some event for her book, but she doesn't have a date. She can't get a date. 4 million men in the city, and she can't find one date. And, you know, so they make a joke that maybe she'll meet an astronaut that hasn't been around for the last couple of weeks.
Because none of the guys want to go out with a chick who says she wants to bang them on the first date.
That's what I don't get. Is that you
in 1962, especially when it was a little harder to, you know.
So she's saying that the goal is that you can do whatever you want, you can be whoever you want, and you can have sex a la carte. Great. Love it. That sounds awesome. Because of Zellweger's, we have finally achieved that.
We have watched Pegrit through the years make that a reality.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And we don't need Renee Zellweger to do it too.
No, but like, so what we have, what's good now, I want people to do this. This sounds great. It sounds awesome. Do whatever you think you need to do.
Yeah. I'm up. Yeah, do whatever you want.
The funny thing is that all of these men are like, oh no, but then I also have to respect them. Yuck. And it's like, oh, gross. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I don't think that was weird too. It was like,
because that's what their only gripe is. It's like, so you don't actually care if they're working and you don't actually care. You're just like, oh no, they're not.
Now I can't be
doing what I said and then
shittier to them. Or,
now I can't treat them with respect and let them be fulfilled by other things except for me and my happiness. It's like gross.
Weird. Yeah, like I said, the psychology of all characters in this movie is not. It's just all off a little bit.
Yeah.
You're like, why would they do that? Wouldn't this be better? Or wouldn't that be better? Like, this is like a first draft of a movie that they're like, let's just do it.
Again, finish your projects.
Yeah, no
Start
shit.
Start that, write that movie and make it better than this.
This is disturbing.
Ewan McGregor runs into Zellweger's across the street, and he follows her into the cleaners because he's trying to figure out like how he can meet her. And so he goes there, and the wife of Mrs. Litzer.
Yeah, because they have
a married couple that runs the laundromat.
Yeah, they run this laundromat, dry cleaner, whatever the fuck it is. And she.
Oh, yeah, dry cleaner. Yeah.
Yeah, he like stalked her a little bit to see her routine and sees she goes to the dry cleaner. So does David Hyde Pierce goes to that same dry cleaner. So he grabs the ticket from David Hyde Pierce and goes to pick up his dry cleaning.
He said that he has dry cleaning, and then.
David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah, David Hyde Pierce says he has dry cleaning. And then Ewan McGregor sees Zellweger's across the street, and he sees that the dry cleaner is across the street. So he's like, I'll go pick it up so that he can see.
I thought
he
stalked her ahead of time.
Yeah, no. He just sees her across the street and just
goes
in there.
It's weird.
So anyway, they talk to each other, and Mrs. Litzer is going to go answer the door because we're equal now. And
she is, what's her name? Fuck. Oh, I can't place her now. Damn it. The Mrs. Litzer.
Yeah.
What is her name?
I don't know.
We didn't look up her real
Mrs.
name.
Mrs. Litzer was awesome. I loved her.
She's great. She's in a lot of shit for years and years.
So Ewan McGregor says to Zellweger, he's like, oh, excuse me, miss. You sure do look familiar. And she's like, yeah, that's me. That's who I am. And he's like, oh, cool. I can't wait to tell everybody that I am at the same dry cleaner as Kim Novick.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's Novak. And it's actually Barbara Novak. And he's like, oh, never heard of you, which is weird because it's like, so you're Kim Novick, apparently. And then now I'm Barbara Novak and you don't know who I am. Sounds good.
That was the weirdest way to meet. It's all the important parts of the movie like that. Like, how's he going to meet her and get this initial thing? Those seem like they spent the least amount of time figuring out. It's like they got all that stuff. Then we'll write that scene with there. And then they were like, oh, shit, we forgot to write it. What do we do?
Nothing about this plan is well thought out. Okay.
No.
So him His expose, I guess, is a good idea because he's like, okay, listen, she said my name on national television, dragging me through the mud, ruining my sex schedule here. And it's just, it's not cool. But like, so his idea is I'm going to prove that all women want is love. And so I get it that he didn't realize he was going to run into her at the dry cleaners or outside the dry cleaners. So he kind of had to like think on the fly here.
Yeah, I guess.
But the rest of his plan is really flawed. And I'll explain why. So he...
That's what I'm getting. Yeah, it's all flawed.
He fucking goes... he makes up a name that his name is Zip Martin, and he's an astronaut, and they've, you know, NASA has sent him Zip. Here from, you know, he's doing some kind of top secret project here. Okay,
yeah.
So great.
And he gets his name by looking at signs. It says zippers repaired, so he's like,
and
Zip.
And Martinizing then, something.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, an astronaut. I was literally just talking about this with my friend. So she's all like, blink, blink, blink. And
you can almost
whatever.
Hear the ding, 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 like when Bugs Bunny is dressed like a woman and blinks at, what's his name?
Bats his eyelashes.
Yeah, bats his eyelashes, and they go... Di-li-ling.
Yep. So they go... So she wants to go and make plans with him. Like, she's like, hey, listen, like, since you're an astronaut, let's fuck.
Listen.
Because she's like, oh, okay, I think this guy's handsome. You know, whatever. Let's go get to know each other all the way better. Let's bang. Let's do this. Like, I just want to... I've been eating so much chocolate. I just want to fuck somebody.
Yeah, I'm loaded down. Her,
and
her
he wants
aches.
To. He's like, no, that's okay. Like, I'd have to get to know you better. I don't know you. You know, blah blah blah.
And he puts on a southern accent. Yeah. I'm Zip Martin. That's his.
I'm so sorry, Barbara.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Oh, everyone's
Barbara,
back home.
I'm so sorry.
Not gonna believe it.
I'm just a dumb hick.
Yeah.
No. So he. Jesus. He says, I'm a dumb, easily tricked hick at some point. I'm not saying that he is one.
No.
So anyway, so he is like, I'd have to get to know you all the way better. So this is where his problem is. Okay.
This is where his problem is. There's a lot of, he's got a lot.
He wants to prove that these down with love broads all just want to get married and be in love. Okay. So how does he do that? By taking them on dates and spending a lot of time with her throughout the rest of the movie. And then it's like, of course, I think that we're dating. Of course, I'm going to start developing feelings for you.
I think David I. Pierce says they went on 29 dates in 23 days.
Yeah.
Lots.
So it's like at a certain point, this is not you proving that somebody, you weren't like, let's go and like hang out and be friends and like let's, you know, whatever. It's literally we're going on dates to the best shows, to all the ball games, to comedy clubs, we're going dancing. Like
this is this is that cheesy montage where they're like sitting in front of a green screen pretending like things are happening behind them when it's just like, you know, flashes of.
And it's weird because anyway, so they go to go get drinks. So, you know, because I'd sure love a tang.
Ugh.
And then we see Sarah Paulson at the Mahogany Room with a football player. David Hyde Pierce and Ewan McGregor are there. And he goes to go to David Hyde Pierce goes to talk to Sarah Paulson. Johnny Tremendous, the football player, tried to slip.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Wow. Or was Johnny Tremendous or something,
something
like that.
I like Johnny Tremendous.
He
that sounds like a porn guy.
That's why I kept
I'm Johnny Tremendous.
It. So apparently he tried to slip Sarah Paulson his manuscript, so she's upset because men who resent her success won't give her the time of day, and men who respect her success won't give her the time of night. David Hyde Pierce says that he will happily resent and respect her all day and all night. So she's now they're together. It's wonderful, and they're great. Now we have the montage of Zellwegs and Ewan McGregor on many dates. Like he's actually paying attention to the show, like they're like laughing and they're looking like they're having a nice time. So
after 29 dates, you'll either love someone or want to kill them.
Yes.
One of the two. You'll definitely have a sustained opinion on them.
Like, oh no, I'm having fun and talking to the person that I'm on a date with, and oh
lame.
No, this is going to prove that people just want to be in love. It's like okay, so. All right. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, none of it does.
It felt like what he should have done is he should have been like, okay, so she wants to be down with love and you can have sex a la carte. I'm going to have sex with her a la carte and confuse her and give her, because, you know, at a certain point, she's going to start to have feelings. Because you do start to have feelings, like some feelings for your fuck buddy, because you, like, are actually spending time with them.
There's so many different ways, better ways they could have gone about this.
So it was, this just confused me. And then but that's fine. So
I was confused about goals at some point.
Yes.
I was very confused. And then the score kept going.
What are your goals?
What
are your
hurt.
Intentions? It was just whatever. Yeah. So Ewan McGregor hires a private investigator to see if there's someone who has hurt her in her past. The PI says, gladly, this broad's book is bad for business because men know if their wife is sneaking out, she's looking for a job. Eye roll. Oh, my God. Shut up.
Now they're just looking for a job.
Now they're just, these skirts are trying to work.
These fucking skirts.
Ewan McGregor has been called to David Hyde Pierce's apartment and he wants him to taste the sauce and help make dinner. And I thought it was funny. It was just such a good homage to Niles because, quick, taste my sauce.
Yeah, it was very Niles. This scene, I was like,
wearing like an apron and all that stuff.
Super
I love
Niles,
him.
Yeah.
So we have, Ewan McGregor tells David Hyde Pierce to take Sarah Paulson over to his apartment, his bachelor pad, which has all the gadgets and stuff like that to snare a woman. And then Ewan McGregor is going to have the home-cooked meal with Barbara, with Zellweger at David Hyde Pierce's apartment.
Way too complicated. It's just too much.
So this is where the sexual innuendo call is. He invites him over to the apartment, and he's, you know, in a towel, and he's doing push-ups randomly for no reason, only like maybe four or five of them.
He's pumping up.
And then he says that he, you know, come over to 73rd and Park. Oh, no, Donnie Breadloaf lives at 78th and Park.
73rd.
I thought he lived at 78th and Park.
73rd. Damn it.
It was 783 Park.
I didn't think it was 783.
Because Sally said it was 783 Park and it's 78th and Park.
I thought it was 73rd and Park.
I will look on my mother.
Yeah, we will go and
Google
I'm
Maps because I did look it up last
week. We did look it up. So okay. I'm doing that now and you keep going.
David Hyde Pierce doesn't know how to use anything in Ewan McGregor's apartment, of course, because he's never really been there that many times. He doesn't know how to work any of the gadgets.
I don't know where,
like,
the bar is, he says.
He doesn't know how to open up the bar, and instead he, like, gets the couch bed out and, like, knocks Sarah Paulson out.
It's very cartoony. Like, it pops out, like, hits her in the chin and then crushes her when there's, like, smoke pouring out from under the bed.
And he's a really bad liar because he's talking about how he cooked dinner and she's like, oh, that's so nice. Like, you cooked a homemade meal for me. And he's like, oh, no. I cooked it at Ketcher's house for Ketcher. You know, whatever. And so she's like, okay. And he's got a picture of Ewan McGregor's parents at his apartment. And she's like, oh, are these your parents? No, those are Ketcher's parents. The apartment has now turned on them. So they run away and they go to dinner.
They're flinging records at them. They're like
now,
exploding.
Yeah. Now we are
783. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Boom. Okay. So now we're back to Ewan McGregor and Renee Zellweger, and they are more sexual innuendo about the telescope. I've done this many times before. Yes.
Yeah, with them off
never
screen.
Never with this powerful of an instrument.
Oh, goodness. It's so large.
It's with a telescope. And so then, you know, Ewan McGregor says he's ready to go to bed and he'll call her a taxi. So, okay. And she's like, okay, like, let's go to bed. But then
we've
he says, like, I'll call you a taxi. And she's like, okay, I thought we were going to fuck.
Yeah.
Because you made me dinner and, like, it was super romantic. Like, I thought we were going to fuck now.
This is a fuck setup is what we had going on here. This was a...
I understood what was happening. I certain expectations, I probably shaved.
You propped up a fuck and now you're just letting it
and
deflate.
And now you're just calling me a taxi. Yeah. Like, that's not cool.
Not at
so,
all.
So... Because from jump, she's like, what's up, dude? You don't know who I am. Let's fuck. I'm tired of eating chocolate. And then she's like, I'm tired of eating chocolate after 30 dates. I'd like to fuck you now because we've gone out 30 times.
Can we get this on or what?
And Ewan McGregor's like, oh, I just don't know if I'm ready for it yet. And she's like, okay. So that to me doesn't say that she's in love. It's, well, I mean, it does. But I mean, like, she's been like, let's fuck.
She's been wanting to fuck since the first date. So that's not really the sign at that point that she's in love. Yeah.
Yeah. So makes some sense. Wanting to make her fall in love doesn't, like, that doesn't necessarily do anything.
Wanting to be book is not book.
Wanting to prove that she wants to be in love is something, but just wanting to prove that, like, I took her on 30 dates and then she fell in love with me, that's not, okay.
Okay, great.
I once went on I didn't really go on a date, so I saw the guy had white Oakleys on. And I turned around and I left. But like, I'm not going to go out with him. I'm not going to go around 30 times with him and be like, oh, it sucks that he wears white Oakleys. Yeah. I saw the white Oakleys and I went, nope. And I was like,
here's a bad sign.
Yeah,
let's leave now.
I am leaving.
Yeah. Guys, that's how women think. If you're wearing white Oakleys and you're like, I think they're pretty cool, every woman that looks at you is going, yeah. Not cool. And the women who aren't, those are not the women you want.
No, you're not going to be happy with that. No, I seriously, like, I was working at the comedy club and he gave me his phone number. And so then, like, we went and he's like, okay, cool. I'll meet you at this bar tomorrow. And I was like, okay, day drinking. Wow, that's fun. And so it's like day drinking, strike one. And then you walk up and you see the dude wearing white Oakley sunglasses on the back of his head. You're like, oh, no.
See you with the white Oakleys. Nope.
I will not be participating.
No, I'm gonna be leaving now. Goodbye.
I'm going to go and get some.
Fuck that.
French fries at McDonald's and I'm going to go hang out. It's going to be a good time.
Yep.
By the way,
those white Oakleys out, gentlemen.
We're getting French fries. Okay.
Okay. After the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet.
So she's like, okay, cool, bye. I'm starting to
hurry up. I want French fries.
Well, stop talking about it then. Spicy chicken nuggies. Okay, so she says, cool, bye. I'm starting to have feelings for you, obviously, because we've been fucking dating for the past couple of months.
You know, constantly hanging out every day. All day.
That's the other thing. We've been hanging out every day. You call me and you're not like, hey, I'm going to go hang out with a bunch of friends. Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, we do have a bunch of fuckboys who are always like, you know, people are like, there's so many apps for people to ignore people on. I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Like, my cousin will be like, well, so he texted me back, but he didn't answer my Snapchat. And I'm like, what is happening?
Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying, ladies, you have it rough out there. So
too much.
If Ewan McGregor wanted to. And dudes do too, because everybody's a nightmare.
It's just everything.
Everyone's
a
nightmare. Okay, so anyway.
What a mess.
So she gives him, she's like, okay, I can't talk to you anymore because I'm developing feelings for you. You obviously don't want to fuck me, so I'm doing what's good for me. And like, bye, thanks for the souffle. And he's like, so he decides to kiss her.
Yeah, because he's like, this is my move I have to make right now. Yeah,
because I don't want her to stop talking to me.
I got her where she wanted me too much, but now she's like, if I can't have it, fuck it. Now I need to lay down the hammer now.
Yeah.
Drop
and
the
so,
Greg's cock.
So then she's like, okay, cool. I'll give you one more chance, obviously, because they've been dating for, you know, 30 dates or whatever the fuck it is now. And then you kissed me. So like, all right.
Was that the first time they kissed?
Yeah, I think so.
Jesus Christ.
Why would you go on 30 dates
with
somebody who doesn't want to kiss
point.
You?
Wouldn't
yeah,
you just
you're
be like,
just hanging out.
I guess we're friend zone now. If you were her, you'd be like, oh, he's gay, but he's an astronaut and he doesn't want to be like,
yeah.
I get it. Like 30 dates and a dude doesn't kiss, you'd be like, yeah, I don't think he likes girls.
Yeah.
Or me, one of the two. But why would he keep going out with me? I guess he must be
every
girl, gal pals now.
Every girl wants the, well, I mean, some girls are fine with making the move, but for the most part, everybody wants somebody to make a move on them and like kiss them if they've gone on 30 dates with them.
I think by 30, by date 10, you'd be like, what the fuck are we doing? Do you want to fuck me or not? Honestly, like, are you at all interested in my vagina? I'm being explicit now. I need to know where you'd like to take your penis and end up with it, because I can't take this weirdness anymore. I have guy friends. I have brother. I can set you up with somebody if you like guys. That's fine. But
I support you.
If you would like to have sex with me, whip it the fuck out and let's get it on, because I am sick and fucking tired of this bullshit game.
One of the bonus episodes, I should take you on a tour of what James would be like as a lady.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
By the way, he would never let a man take him out for coffee or drinks. It would always be a sandwich.
Because I want a sandwich.
Well, because a sandwich has more substance.
Yeah, it's heartier.
It's heartier for you.
Yeah, I don't want
to
drink.
And it takes a lot longer to like, eat a sandwich. And then also, you get to know how they order a sandwich and whether or not you'd like to be with them.
You suppose it's just covered in mayonnaise and all this shit. I can't be with that person. I can't. It's over. It's over.
Because I asked him, I was like, would you go for, like, are you a coffee date gal or like a drinks
like
date?
Coffee.
And he goes, no.
I
was like, okay.
I like sandwiches. I take you out for a drink. I don't really drink. You know what I do like? Sandwiches.
Yeah.
Let's go. And I want to see, what if he's a pussy? That's the other thing. If I'm a lady, I want a guy who can get like a real fucking sandwich and do some damage to it. I don't want a guy who's like, let me get this 6-inch veggie and be like, you pussy, get the fuck away from me. Get away from me.
Unless you like veggie sandwiches and that's what you're looking for. But for James, this is James's ideal man.
I'm looking for,
as a lady, this is James's ideal man.
Yeah, I don't want some veggie trying to fucking keep me warm at night. Not happening. No. Take a hike, celery stick.
Okay, lettuce.
I have no idea what I'm talking
All right,
about.
Ready? So Ewan McGregor goes back to his apartment. David Hyde Pierce and Sarah Paulson had invited a bunch of beatniks over. I think that the beatniks were only for, like, to show that this is still in the 60s.
It's it's 1962.
How 1962 is this movie? We even have beatniks at our party.
They have goatees and berets and black shirts. Beatniks.
And black turtlenecks. And one girl with long black hair, ask me why I mourn.
They forgot the biggest part of her character, which was her long black hair was over her otherwise completely uncovered tits.
Yeah, she had no shirt on. Yeah. It was just only hair. Ask me why I mourn, because you're wearing this suit and the corporations and blah, blah, blah.
Madison Avenue has been making you and falsing you.
She, he takes her in the other room and they go to have sex and, like, Renee Zellweger shows up. She sees Sarah Paulson, who's just made herself at home at this apartment.
She's fine.
They've definitely figured out all of the gadgets by now. And so she's hostessing the party, Sarah Paulson. And Renee Zellweger's like, do I introduce myself? Like, what do I do? And she goes, no, just go throw your coat and then, join the party. So she goes and throws her coat on top of the two people making out in the coat room, which, of course, is Ewan McGregor and the beatnik lady with no shirt.
Shirtless beatnik lady. I think that's her character name.
So,
Mom, I got a part. I'm playing shirtless beatnik lady in this terrible movie.
We should have looked to see what her name was on the thing. But so she throws her jacket and she says, catch. And Ewan McGregor pops up because that's his name. So then he has to run off and lie and says that she gave him a marijuana cigarette or a tobacco that
somebody who just got back from San Francisco stuffed something weird in my pipe.
In my tobacco, and now I felt all hooey, and I was supposed to come here for an expose from that catcher block. Like, he did a pretty solid cover up. Like, he wanted to hear about my NASA, like, whatever. He drops the L word on Renee Zellweger, and now he says he's ready to fuck. He's like, listen, I'm ready to go get to know you all the way better. Nothing like being caught making out with somebody else, and then you're like, I was poisoned. I love you, and I'm ready to fuck you now.
Listen,
even though a couple hours ago I wasn't ready to fuck you, now I am. I'd be like, no, that's gross. You were still making out with the beatnik lady. I will talk to you tomorrow.
That's true. Yeah, he did. He still had beatnik tit on his lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's buying it, whatever. Our whiplash transition to the pink book is ruining everybody's life at the publishing house. The head honcho wants to fire Sarah Paulson. I
Tony
think
Randall.
Theodore Banner.
Doesn't matter. It's Tony Randall, goddammit.
It's Banner House, whatever. Sarah Paulson comes walking in and she says that she wants to tell Theodore Banner to have everybody treat her like an equal editor or she quits. So she quits.
She was going in to get fired anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, no, because he told everybody else to fire her.
Oh, that's right. That's
and then
right. Yeah.
He was like, I don't know, I'll come up with it or I'll come up with a better team. And then she walked in and she's like, I'm going to have everybody treat me like an equal or I'm going to quit. And then so she quit.
She quit.
She says that she hates men and she just wants to get married to David Hyde Pierce. Good decision. David Hyde Pierce would probably be a great husband.
Yeah.
I feel very fulfilled.
Except for the obvious.
The neuroses part, I'd be like, oh my God, your sauce tastes good. Stop.
Yeah.
Like
he's got 20 diagnosed neuroses, he says.
So I would just feel, I would feel mostly bad. I would be like, it sucks that he is so tortured like this. But at a certain point, I told you I liked your sauce. Stop asking me.
Relax.
I said I liked it.
Relax, yeah.
I like everything that you've made. It's not like I've been 50-50 on it. Shut the fuck up. I like how you cook. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would just be like, I would be supportive, because that's what the kind of gal I am. I'd tell you if I didn't like that, and then I would just like.
But then she gives him a new neurosis.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll cover it, so I won't get into it now. But yeah, she gives him a new neurosis
of course.
Later on.
So she, Zellweger wants to tell Ewan McGregor that she loves him and tonight's the night. So now we have another getting ready montage where we're having different versions of Fly Me to the Moon playing, where a lady is singing it when it's Renee Zellweger and she's dancing all around her apartment. And then, is it Frank Sinatra for Ewan McGregor? Because I don't think it's Michael Bublé. I think that they probably forked over. I think they probably forked over a couple of pennies for the Frank.
If they're using Frank, that one's pricey. Yeah, I know that for a fact.
So Ewan McGregor goes up to pick up Renee Zellweger from her apartment and brings her back to his apartment, which she thinks is Peter McManus's, a.k.a. Niles's apartment. And she thinks that they're there to go talk to Ketcher Block about the piece about Zip Martin. And
Zip. Let's name him Zip.
Zip. Well, that's the funny thing is that they did name people like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Buzz and Zip.
No, it sounded like it did sound like a stupid astronaut.
Our
name
town had like two Buzzes.
Yeah.
And 30 Rock. I love that show. We should watch 30 Rock and eat French fries. Okay. David Hyde Pierce goes out to dinner with Sarah Paulson, and he is like, I don't know what you're mad at me about. I don't know why you think that I'm guilty. I'm not guilty. Please don't think that I'm guilty. And she's like, why do you keep saying that? So he spills the beans at dinner about the whole expose. Like, okay, well, Ketcher Block is currently seducing Renee Zellweger to prove that she's not a down with love girl. Like, you know, so they're fighting and they, you know, leave the restaurant that they're at. Ewan McGregor is playing with all the gadgets at his apartment that she thinks is not his apartment.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is they have this apartment ruse persists.
The weird thing about this is that they think, so he sees a note saying that Ketcher Block couldn't make it. He had something come up. So please go inside and enjoy some champagne for the inconvenience. I'd be like, no, let's go out to eat. Like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, let's go sit in that weird guy's apartment and then go, like, drink champagne. I'd be like, so are we drinking champagne and then he's going to show up? Or, because if he's not going to show up, why would we go sit in this weird man's
what
apartment?
What are we doing exactly?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of what are we doing exactly, I feel like, that happens here right away, really.
You and I would be so excited that I'd be like, well, I wish that they would have called, but that's fine, because then we could have just gone and eat something.
French fries.
We love when people cancel plans.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world. Yeah. When someone cancels, and I don't care what it is, too. We could have, I mean, it could be a fucking liver transplant, and we'd be like, yes, I don't care.
Oh, thank God. I didn't want to go to
that. Don't
have
to get that liver today.
But anyway, they're still like, cool, let's make out and fuck at this stranger's house that we don't know and drink his champagne. Where you got a weird marijuana cigarette here the last time. And, like, the champagne's probably not poisoned.
I'm sure.
We're going to have dysentery tomorrow.
At the very least, if we're lucky.
We're going to be like fucking Freddie Prinze Jr. flipping up our ties.
He's going to have space dysentery.
Yeah.
Because he's an
astronaut. So he tricked her into falling in love with him. So he's like recording her like, oh, Barbara Novak, author of Down With Love. You believe in sex without love. And like, you know, he's trying to totally like whatever. The flight attendant comes over and she opens up the door. She sees Ewan McGregor making out with Zellweger. And then the whole story comes out. So she's like, oh, okay. Well, I just came over for a little sex a la carte, but I see that you're busy and like you got sloppy because you left a key out there and like, you know, whatever.
And while this is going on, this is with David Hyde Pierce, right?
No. This is with where the flight attendant walks in with.
But at the same time, they're having dinner, David Hyde Pierce and Marcia Clark.
Yeah, they said, they're like, holy shit, this is what's happening.
Well, she says, I got it. I understand why you're so nervous. It's because you're gay.
And
she's like, it's cool that you're gay. We can still get married and you can still be my husband even though you're gay. And he was like, no, that's not what it is. I'm not gay.
Yeah,
I'm actually.
It was weird that he was cooking for Ketcher at Ketcher's
apartment. She's like, you have pictures of Ketcher's parents there. Like, I understand you're in love with Ketcher.
I want you to live your truth.
She's like, that's fine, but we can still be married and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, because it was 1962.
Yeah.
So she was said all that and he was like, no, actually, we're totally screwing over your friend and trying to ruin what you've built.
So anyway, so the whole story comes out that he's Ketcher Block and he's like, you know, just admit it though. I got you to fall in love with me. And she's like, no. So he says, admit it. I got Barbara Down With Love Novak to fall in love. Uh-oh. She's not Barbara Novak. There is no Barbara Novak. Her name's actually Nancy Brown.
The score finally pauses for a while she says all this stuff, it stopped. And I was like, oh, God, I can hear my thoughts again.
So it turns out that she used to be Ketcher Block's secretary many moons ago, and she fell in love with him. But, you know, she didn't want to be another notch in his bedpost. So she was like, okay, how do I do this? So I'm going to go and dye my hair blonde. I'm going to write a best-selling novel. I'm going to get myself to be the... I'm going to get myself everywhere so that you're going to be... I knew that you'd have an excuse. I knew that you'd do this. I knew that you'd do that. Like, she was like, I knew that you'd do this. Like, everything was so strategized.
What a weird motivation, because her motivation to become rich and successful and famous and, you know, have this book and be an author and all this shit was to get this guy to like her.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of the book.
And then he is... So she tells him that, you know, he's been beaten at his own game, and she wanted him to hear it from her before he heard it from his private eye. Then the private eye calls and confirms. So he's like, this broad doesn't even exist, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then she says, so tell me if the plan worked. If the plan worked, do you love me? And here's where I thought that he would be like, holy fucking shit. That's crazy. Yes. Get out of my apartment. Like, this is nuts.
The way she explained it was like, and then I did this, and then I did this.
It's
and
totally
it was
totally healthy that I single nuts. White femaled you. Essentially, yeah. I changed my appearance. I wrote a book. I did this just to fucking go out with you.
That's what I thought.
And we would go on lots of dates.
Like, I thought he was going to have the same reaction that Alicia Silverstone had to Brendan Fraser. When Brendan Fraser was like, I actually live underground and my parents live there and all this shit is for them and there's
this
nuclear.
This person is here to see you. And she's be your friend.
Yeah, like I thought he was going to be like, oh, she's unstable. I was in love with this person, but she clearly needs help. Oh, no, let's take her away.
This is psycho. Yeah.
Next scene is her like in the back of an ambulance in a straitjacket going, no, it's going to be fine. I'll be out soon. And he's like, okay, I'll see you when you get out. Waving.
So he kisses her and he says that no wife of mine, he's like, we're going out because no wife of mine is going to whatever. She's like, really? Do you mean it? And James, so it's so funny because James pressed the button here and he goes, 20 minutes left. How are there 20 minutes left?
I'm like, what else is there? That's it. That's a movie. It's over.
So the flight attendant runs back in. She's like, oh my God, you are Barbara Novak. You're my hero. I love you. I really look up to you. You have taught me that I can fuck whoever I want, and I can say when, and I can say, you know,
who and how.
Who and yeah. And then she also says that she's training for her pilot's license. Yay.
Okay.
Way
I
to
didn't
go.
Miss that part.
And so Ewan McGregor says to her after she leaves, she's like, holy shit, you know, Zellweger, you didn't just fool me, you fooled the whole world. And our marriage will end the battle of the sexes. Okay. So you're going to be my wife, and we're going to have a bunch of kids, and we're going to live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I just told you, like, I wanted to be. But like,
doesn't
even
seem like the life he wants either.
Yeah,
that's
and
the
that's
weird,
weird
part.
He's
I thought
like,
he was
that's
kidding.
Awesome. You're going to be my wife and we're going to live here. And then it's just like, oh, okay. Like, why can't we just be like this? Like, why can't you like
can't
write in a men's magazine and I'll still write books?
Well, yeah. And that's the whole point is he was going to write. I'm going to get a Pulitzer for this and, you know, to end the battle of the sexes of this whole thing and how it went down. And then she's mad at him for
that. So she says that she can't do that because she's realized what kind of influence she's made on society and that people look up to her. So she realizes the impact that she's made on people. And it wasn't just about her getting Catcher Block to fall in love with her. Ewan McGregor loves Zellweger. He wants her to come back to him. He keeps sending her all this stuff, including the telescope that wasn't necessarily his. David Hyde Pierce is mad at him. Everybody is mad at him.
Sent Niles' telescope over there.
Yeah. And so Ewan McGregor wrote his story instead of the exposing Barbara Novak. He did Catcher Block Exposed, how Catcher Block fell in love with Barbara Novak. And then we see that he's like, okay, well, how come we're not getting this to publishing? And Niles says that because all the secretaries are gone because they all want to work for Barbara Novak.
All of them are gone. Every
they
secretary.
All want to work for Barbara Novak, which, you know, that's fine. So she started her own magazine. And on her, it's called Now Magazine, and there's a billboard, and it says that
for women
Nancy Brown can be Barbara Novak. Like, so you can transform your identity too. You can say down with love and you can turn from this brown haired gal to a yellow haired gal, which you can still be fucking Barbara Novak and have fucking brown hair. Don't fucking get me started on this motherfucking shit.
The only
fine
way, apparently, is blondness is the
anyway,
only cure for everything, apparently.
So she is hiring for her own personal secretary, Zellweger, and they have down with love chocolate bars and they have their own magazine and everything is wonderful. And I was going to say, because I'm like, well, wait, she had a whole new identity, but people can write under pen names. I forget about that all the time.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's normal, actually.
So Ewan McGregor comes by with an application to be her secretary. He's obviously overqualified because she's like, well, you're getting like a 96% pay cut and, you know, it's distracting for a sex hound like you. And he says that he's a new man. She gets mad because she sees the expose because Catcher Block Exposed. And she's like, so you're exposing me as Nancy Brown, but like she did?
It's on the cover of her magazine.
No, but it's on the billboard.
On the billboard with a picture of her magazine that she is on the cover of, saying, I went from Nancy Brown to this, with pictures of both.
Yeah. But that's fine. That's fine.
The magazine's
whatever.
Called Now. The other one's called No. She literally just dropped the K. It's like, what are you, fucking hack now?
Yeah. So anyway, so she's in, so he goes and runs away, and because she says no, like, get out of here. She goes he goes and walks off, and he does his little, like, counting thing that he did. He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and turns around and looks, and all the women are looking at him like, bye.
Yeah.
We'll see you later. And he's, you know, like, sad because he thought that his charm would work this one last time, and it didn't. Oh, but it did, James, because somehow fucking Zellweger's is magic. She's in the fucking elevator, and she's like, somehow in between a brunette and a blonde, and she takes off her hat, and she's got red hair.
Yeah, totally
scooped
red.
Scooped you again.
Yeah,
and they do this whole conversation of, I knew that you'd do this, and I know you know, and I know you know, and I knew you knew, and I knew you'd know. And
God, it's like a murder mystery. And I knew the doctor would come in and declare him dead,
yeah.
And while I was doing that, I was hiding the pipe under the... It's fucking... Oh.
I knew that you'd do this, and I knew that you'd ask for this, and I knew you'd come back to ask
the
me
end
to marry
of Clue.
You. And yeah, so they take off in a helicaper and they... A helicaper.
It's a helicaper, this fucking movie.
It's a helicaper.
No, this movie's a helicaper, son.
They go to take the helicopter... I almost did it again. Helicopter off to Vegas and get married. And apparently the two of them wrote a book and it's called Here's to Love. And they have the song, finally...
Finally, at the end of the movie, they burst over the credits. They burst in the song.
Maybe that's the sexual tension.
Ugh.
It's the that you want. You expect
the song,
and so then you finally get released, like that Britney Spears, that Pepsi commercial,
yeah.
Where like she's all sexy and whatever, and then at the end you explode like the fireworks and stuff like that, and that Lewis Black joke where he's like, "That's come."
Yeah.
Okay, the song is called "Here's to Love." The book is called "Here's to Love." I gotta believe in myself more. It's over.
Oh, God.
I gotta believe in myself more. I gotta believe in myself. I gotta believe in the power of Hulkamania.
Oh, I would say.
I have to say my prayers, and I have to eat my vitamins, and I have to just write my fucking cookbook, and then I also have to go to the fucking Heigl-meter!
To the Heigl-meter!
The Heigl-meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we scale our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl. Something's wrong with me.
You're losing. She's had a
stroke. 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls, 5 Heigls being the worst movie you've ever seen, most punishing, awful, 1 Heigl, not that bad. Uh-oh. Did you go first last week?
I think I did.
Okay,
yeah.
So this week I will go first, James.
Okay, please.
I'm just going to give it 1,962 Heigls.
For
that's the year,
1962. Makes
and
sense.
I have no explanation for that. That's my answer.
Okay. You know what? James? It's a good answer. I give it 4 million Heigls.
Wow.
One for every one of these women who bought the book. And they keep just one for every time they mention fucking 4 million women in this movie. And you can't give it that. You can't give it enough Heigls. 4 million, 10 million, 50 million, 20 quadrillion. It doesn't matter.
Where does it end?
It doesn't matter. It's infinitely terrible. Fuck this movie. Suck a dick, all of you.
Filled with
not
rage.
You. Whoever
filled
made
with
this
rage.
Movie.
Filled with rage. Soon to be filled. French fries. But thank you so much. If you are also filled with rage
Jesus.
From watching this movie or filled with joy after listening to our rendition of the movie, you can follow us on social media or you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars if you liked
Please,
it. If
helps.
Not, just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Just move on with your life. You can talk to us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. We do bonus episodes every other week on Patreon, and this week we will be doing Make Your Own Rom-Com, where we will choose out of our buckets. I spent fucking hours
on
this game.
Oh, I know.
Game.
I can't wait to play this again.
And
redeem
so you
myself.
You choose your lead character, you choose your love interest, you choose
your job,
your city. The city, what they have to overcome.
All that
Last
shit.
Last time, James got Gene Hackman, Julia Roberts, something about the FBI on a yacht.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Not fair.
So yeah, that's on patreon.com/YouGotHeigled.
I got like Anthony Quinn and...
I didn't write that name down.
And Tatum O'Neill in 1975. No. I was like, what happened? This isn't right. Not fair.
And also we have merch, heigleyourself.threadless.com. I put all the links on there. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram where I'm at Sarah H is funny, S-A-R-A-H-H is funny. And you can buy my books on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com, I think that they are on. But it's Small Potatoes, Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope. Also, Leftover Beef from a Lovable Curmudgeon. In it, I talk about how I would like to create a better class of Santa because I used to actually, on all the Christmas presents for my nieces and my nephews, I used to sign all of them from Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So if you want to read my story about creating a better class of Santa and knowing how much I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg, then please buy that book. Why not? I have it on Kindle and on paperback. Oh, my God. Go, James. Tell me how find I can talk to you.
At Jimmy P is funny. Or just copy and paste my name. It's hard to figure out. So just do it like that. What else here? You can listen to me every Tuesday on Crime and Sports, every Thursday on Small Town Murder. That's a good place to do that. Otherwise, I just want to know who's been nice to us this week.
Nice to us this week? Well, James.
What do we need? What do we got?
We have, I'm going to really mess this one up, and I'm really sorry. Dianella Mendoza Arjona.
Nice.
Mark Gavoni, Jamie Simulco, Mary Dolan. Mary Dolan said that she signed up for Patreon because of Crisp Kaz, because HD Kaz. And then she messaged quickly saying that she watched The Postman and then she was having an existential crisis. And I'm saying, Mary, is that you've done life correctly. Well done. Watch The Untouchables next. It's so good. Okay. Joe Duffy, Kara Hill, David Meyer, Deb Compton, Nicole DuPont, James Adkins. Ryan Lussier said that he dropped acid with his partner and binged this show. I think it was the one. I don't know which Patreon episode. I have to look to see which one. But anyway, they dropped acid and then binged our show. So I think that that's fucking awesome.
It's a good way to do it.
I think that that's the way that you should enjoy it safely, responsibly. Ben Pommier. And then Megan A. Harper. And she is sending a message from Calgary, Canada.
Why, thank you.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening hanging out with us this week. This movie really sucked, and I loved it so much. We're going to go, and we are going to watch Mad Men, an actually good period piece that we have, and we are going to eat our body weight in French fries.
I love you
forever, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and go Heigl yourselves, everybody else.
Go Heigl yourselves, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.